I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into a new episode of The Memo for this Friday, the 2nd
day
of June. And that's not Derek Russell. Derek's still not here. Still not back from Chicago.
And I don't have a full breadth of geek knowledge to be able to do the full Derek Russell.
None of us do.
I could tell you that there is a Wonder Woman movie coming out, but I can't tell you, how many shots it took to make that particular scene happen.
That's Scott Morris. He's filling in today for Derek. I'm Brad Locke. Thanks for tuning in here to The Memo. It's the Friday episode, or as I like to call it, the fun episode.
Hey, it's the Scott Morris and Jenna Parsons episode. So again, the fun
episode. We talk about movies and food and
fighting.
Fighting, if we want, I guess, Jenna.
Well, you know, Scott and I fight.
Oh, yeah, true. Y'all do bicker constantly in the newsroom.
Needle one another, I
you
think.
Needle, yes. Yeah.
We're just making the day go by faster, Brad.
They really do like each other. That's how they express their affection, is insulting each other.
Right.
Each other.
It's right. Probably because we were both reared by incorrectly somehow. It's probably something in our childhood, something went horribly wrong, and now we do this.
Well, we're going to talk about food and movies and Elvis Fest and other stuff going on in the area. Let's just to remind you quickly that you can access this show a variety of ways. Of course, we're in iTunes, Google Play, any of your podcast apps, also at memo.djournal.com. You can stream it there. We're on Twitter at djournalmemo. We've got Jenna in here, so let's just go ahead and dive into things. Let's talk about food, Jenna. Let's talk about your cook of the week.
Verna Reeves.
Let's talk about her sister named Bama. That's what I want to talk
Bama.
About.
Bama.
Oh, was it Bama?
Alabama.
I figured her parents were like, Roll Tide fans.
I don't know why she was at, and well, I will say this. I interviewed Bama as a cook of the week, probably 12 years ago or more. And then I interviewed Verna about 10 years ago. I did a story about the barbecue place that her family has, Westside Barbecue in New Albany.
Yeah.
And then later on, I did Bama's daughter, Rita Doty, as a cook of the week. Hmm. And then I did Rita's son as a cook of the week. So, I mean, this is a family that has been cooking for a long time. Bama was a caterer. Verna has a restaurant.
Yeah, and Verna's still running the place because her husband did die last year.
Her husband passed, and she stuck with the restaurant. I did not ask her specifically, but when I did the story on the restaurant, it was the whole family. It was Verna and her husband, and then their kids and grandkids worked there. It was really a family affair, but she's still there. She does some of the bacon and of pies, and she runs does the front of the house, the cash register, meeting and greeting people.
She loves her black skillet.
She does.
Mm-hmm. She makes chocolate pies in fudge in black skillet. Is it fudge or brownies? I don't remember. I think
fudge.
It's fudge.
Fudge,
which I'd never heard of before.
Me either. Interesting. But actually, Bama apparently taught Verna to cook.
She did. Bama was a good deal older, and so Verna's mom was kind of tired of cooking by the time Verna was growing up, so Bama's the one that that taught her.
Probably just tired in general. You have kids, Jenna.
Yes,
at some point, you're
do.
Just like, just
tired.
Whatever, go ahead, cook, that's fine.
But
I'm
I will
done.
Tell you that Verna made she made a banana cake, and she gave the recipe for it. She said she had never given it out before. And it doesn't have in the cake batter. I know you two guys are bakers, but most cakes have either oil or shortening or butter in them. But this one does not. It has whipping cream. And if you know how rich, and I don't mean Cool Whip, I mean whipping cream. But she made this cake and she offered me a piece, and I'm being good, so I declined. But I took a piece for my husband Charlie.
Yeah.
And he had it the night that I brought it home. He had it for dinner or after dinner. And I promise you, his eyes rolled back in his head and he said, "This is the best cake I have ever put in my mouth."
I love banana cake, so.
I have never had a banana cake.
No, I want some.
And she believes in.
No, I guess that's banana bread I'm thinking about.
Yeah, this is a cake.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead, Scott.
No, no. And she believes in extra dollops. She said she puts extra Crisco in her biscuits. So when you go to Verna's place, expect to walk out there a little bit heavier than you went in, but yes, a little bit happier as well.
Don't go in there if you're on a diet.
Yeah. Also, I was intrigued by the Vidalia onion casserole, only because we always get Vidalia onions. Ours are still kind of, we haven't put them in the pantyhose yet, right, to hang them yet. And so they're around in the kitchen. And we get the Civitan onions every year, and usually I just grill them on the grill. But she's got a casserole for them.
I've had this before, and it is delicious as a side dish. It's really good.
And I will say this: as I read your story, when we got down to the chicken and dressing, and that she talked about that she fixes sometimes, and I thought, it's been so long since I've had chicken and dressing. I was trying to and I was salivating just thinking about it.
A lot of people only eat it in the fall in the cool weather. Mm-hmm. That's what, because it's a hot and heavy,
right,
meal. I could eat it all year long, but a lot of restaurants, you know, the mom and pop meat and three, they'll, wow, only make it like September through March or whatever.
Gotcha. One reason I miss Morrison's is because you could get like turkey and dressing pretty much all year round, and the Morrison's have been gone for a long, long time.
I know,
and I'm still in mourning.
Some places still have Piccadilly. Isn't that Morrison's type place?
It is.
I don't even know where the closest one is, though.
Well, that's your cook of the week, Verna Reeves. And let's talk about your column real quick, Jenna. You mentioned your husband, Charlie. Not a fan of your latest dish, apparently.
You know, he wasn't. This is, I got this cookbook in the mail called The Secrets of Skinny Cooking. And I will try to pronounce the name. Victoria Dweck and Shani Taub are the authors. It's a foodie and a dietitian, I think. And I was looking through, we were due for fish that night, and so I went to the chapter on fish, and I found this recipe where you cut salmon into chunks and a white fish, I used tilapia, and then you just put this incredible sauce over it that had bell peppers and lots of spices and garlic and cilantro, a little bit of tomato paste.
Yeah.
And you cook it together. You just put the top on it and it bubbles away for about 45 minutes. And the fish was so tender and flaky and flavorful. And I ate it that night, ate it leftover the next day. And, you know, fish is not...
Leftover fish is tricky.
It is, but it was good. But husband Charlie, he did not care for it.
Huh. Well, he said it's not very filling, so you think that's code.
Well, and then I said, well, what if next time I serve it over rice, and would that make it more filling? And he said no. So that's why I think not very filling is code for don't make this for me again.
I do approve his nixing of the cilantro. Cilantro is one that can just be overdone for me.
You know, you either like it or you don't. I mean, I have come to find out that some people just don't like it. Do you like cilantro, Scott?
I'm not a big fan, no. But then in small doses, I'm okay with it. But I went out to California and went to visit some of Michaela's family and had several cilantro dishes in a row. And by the end of it, it's like, that may be my lifetime limit.
Charlie thinks it tastes soapy. That's how he describes cilantro, is soapy.
But I also wanted to compliment you in your column today, because even though Charlie said it wasn't filling, you said, well, I'll fix it for myself then.
And I'll fix it for my kids, and that'll show him.
That'll show him. He can just make himself a peanut casserole. Butter sandwich. Because my son, Evan, has a very picky palate, and Michaela always says, my wife says, did you like that? And he says, eh. And then, well, I won't fix it again. I said, no, ask everyone. Let's not put Evan in charge of the entire household.
That's right. Don't give kids power.
Yeah. Seriously. And it's annoying because my two teenage daughters are vegetarians for whatever reason. For a while, they would eat chicken, at least. But now they won't even really eat that, usually.
My daughter went through that.
It's annoying.
And she grew out of it.
And then spend the entire time just eating French fries?
Yeah. So a lot of times we'll just have whatever we want, and we're like, if you don't want it, find something else. Have some ramen. I don't know. I don't care.
Bowl of cereal. Yeah, peanut butter sandwich. There's your protein. There's your whole wheat
tomato
bread.
Soup.
Yeah.
Now my son doesn't like chicken either. He'll eat other meat. He's just tired of chicken. We do eat a lot of chicken.
We eat a lot of chicken, too.
Years ago, he just got sick of Chick-fil-A. Went there so much.
I thought you meant y'all cook chicken. I didn't realize you cook it as
well.
Out chicken.
Well, we'll cook it, but we'll eat out chicken as well, both ways.
Chicken and dressing?
See, I've never had chicken and dressing. It's always turkey and dressing. It's always a Thanksgiving.
It's the same thing.
I figure it basically is, but it's just always been turkey.
But sometimes the chicken and dressing I get is where the chicken is mixed in with the dressing.
Right. You know, sometimes people put the meat in it, and sometimes they don't. When we make dressing at Thanksgiving or Christmas, we don't put meat in ours because we've got a turkey. But if I make chicken and dressing during the summer when we're not cooking a turkey, I will put chicken in, you know, big chunks of white meat into the dressing.
So what we've always done, we've always had the turkey in the dressing. My late grandmother, my mamaw on my mom's side, we'd always have Thanksgiving dinner at her house. And we still do. My parents live at that house now. But it's always been turkey dressing with turkey in the dressing, never a full turkey. But we'd have, like, slices of turkey separate.
Right.
Usually cold. I don't know how fresh it was, but it was good. The turkey dressing is one of my favorite things.
Well, now I'm going to have to go find some chicken and dressing for lunch today.
Well, now, we always have giblet gravy over the dressing, and so we didn't necessarily have turkey in the dressing, but we would have, like, all the giblets in there with little bits of egg, too.
Yes, boiled egg.
Boiled egg, and then they're, like, the little livery bits.
Yes.
Oh, that was so good. I can't do that. I love the little livery bits.
I don't like the livery bits. I can do the gravy with the chunks of boiled egg in it.
What else is a giblet? You got.
I don't even want to think about it.
I don't even know what a giblet is. I don't think I've had them.
Is it innards? Innards? It's not like innards.
It's that packet that comes with it that you throw in the trash.
Okay.
Or that you heat up in a broth and make turn into a gravy.
I'll go with Jenna on this one. Y'all can find Jenna's work in Wednesday's Journal in the food section, also at djournal.com. Jenna, always a fun time when you're here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Always?
Always.
Okay.
Hey, I want to remind y'all to look for the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. We've got Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can listen to it for free in iTunes. Your podcast apps are at preprally.djournal.com. No episode this week. We should return next week. Also, check out Double Coverage, a podcast about Ole Miss and Mississippi State sports. Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry release new episodes every Thursday in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and Rebels. Listen to it for free in iTunes. Your podcast apps are at Double Coverage. djournal.com.
Wake up and get ready for your day with the Daily Journal's News Break, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a 5-minute video. Shows will be posted every Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. You can watch them for free at any time at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, or the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices. Stay informed on the latest happenings in your community in an easily digestible format.
Let's talk movies, Scott.
All right, let's talk it.
Let's talk about the new Pirates of the Caribbean movie. I didn't know it was out yet. I just, like, have recently noticed it was a thing. But Jack Sparrow's back. Johnny Depp's back. I mean, it's the fifth installment?
It is the fifth installment. And
I thought they were done with it. I mean, the first one came out, what, 02, 03?
Sometime in the past. I don't have an answer for you, man.
It's been a while.
But it's been like this, the law of diminishing returns, where each one has been less than. And it got to where, why are you making a fifth one? And so when they said they're making the fifth one, I was not at all excited about it. The reviews came in and were pretty negative about it. And so we went to go see it, and I really enjoyed it. I think they got some of the mojo back.
Well, you know, it does have Johnny Depp, and it has some of the cast that was not there for the fourth one, right? Because Keira Knightley and Orlando Bloom were not in the fourth one, were they?
Yeah, I don't want to give anything away, but
which I didn't see.
But they also have some other characters in it that, I think that maybe in the past it got to where, like, on Stranger Tides, when they were trying to find the Fountain of Youth, Johnny Depp had to carry the whole thing in some ways.
Yeah,
and it had other people, but it wasn't. I don't know. This one, it worked. And I think it worked because it was funny. It was very funny. A lot of laugh out loud moments in this movie. And also, you had these other characters. You have a young Henry Turner, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name. Britton Thwaites.
Thwaites.
Maybe? Thwaites. Henry Turner, who is Will Turner, Orlando Bloom's son. And he's trying to break the curse on his dad. And then you have a new young lady. Her character name is Corinna Smith, which is easy. Her first name is Kaya. Her last name is
Scodelario.
Maybe. There we go. Let's go with that.
Close enough.
Scodelario.
That's the actress's name.
Yeah. And so they had that going on. Javier Bardem is a Spanish captain who's been cursed.
Now that's one reason I would want to go watch it, is I like Javier Bardem a lot.
You know, these cursed pirates that he's in charge of, they're like cursed at the moment they died, and so some have whole heads blown off, but they're still moving around. He drowned, and so throughout the whole movie, his hair is moving as though he's in the water, and it's seamless. It's just It works. And so but by now we should expect, I don't know what special effects are going to be in 15, 25 years. They're going to be amazing. They're going to inject you with something. You're going to just be there. It'll be just like taking, actually you're the pirate and you'll feel the stab wound.
You'll be on the ship.
But the effects are wonderful in this.
Well, you know, when the first one came out, again, it's been 13, 15 years ago, I thought the special effects were pretty darn good. I think that those effects still hold up. And that's the first one to me is one I'll sit down and watch anytime. Easily the best of the bunch.
A lot, yeah.
But yeah, like you said, it sounds like that they still got that going for them. That's always been a draw, is they've had good special effects.
Now, if you've watched them all, there are a couple of things that happen in this story that are not consistent with what happened in earlier installments. And I'm not going to give those away, but then I realized I didn't care. I thought, well, that shouldn't have happened, and that shouldn't have happened. But at the same time, I had fun.
Yeah.
I was glad I went. You don't go to a Jerry Bruckheimer production for logical consistency. You go for escapes, chases, fight scenes, explosions, a little bit of comedy, maybe a little bit of romance, women in tight bodices. Can you say that on the memo?
Bodices.
Bodice. Bodice.
Corsets.
Jenna's gone. Oh.
So
and there's also a cameo in there of a few years back. Keith Richards showed up as Jack's father,
which I did enjoy that.
Yeah, well, somebody else shows up as Jack's uncle, so it might be worth checking out.
It's not Mick Jagger, is it?
No. But somebody of that era.
Interesting. Okay. Well, it's playing at the Malco's in Tupelo, Oxford, Corinth, and Columbus, Hollywood Premier Cinemas in Starkville, and Movie Reel 4 in New Albany. And you gave it a B+. I mean, a little more positive review than others, perhaps?
You know, it might have been going in and having no expectations and just being entertained. And it's a frothy thing. There's nothing like really all that deep about it. But there is some moment about Jeffrey Rush has been playing Captain Barbossa for a while. He has a couple of moments here. There's a moment when he contemplates retirement. And you just kind of realize exactly what kind of character Barbossa is at that moment. And then some other moments later on that he has that were entertaining and made the movie better.
And I always like the interplay between him and Johnny Depp in those movies. So, it just sounds like a good summer flick. I'll have to check out at some point.
I found it odd that there are so many bad reviews about it. But then who trusts reviewers anyway?
Yeah, they don't know what they're talking about.
not a single one I've ever met knows what they're talking about.
All right. Well, good stuff. You can read Scott's full review in the Thursday scene section also at djournal.com. Hey, before we move on, we want to remind you all to check out the Capitol View webcast we have each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. You can watch live normally Monday afternoons around 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. We taped on Tuesday this week, so you can still go check it out there at djournal.com as Bobby previewed the upcoming special session. Okay, let's...
My wife refers to Bobby, like she gets this kind of like, hey, Bobby! She kind of has that kind of... That's why she refers to Bobby all the time.
She turns British?
Huh? No, just kind of more kind of like a teeny bopper kind of, oh, Bobby, come in. Like more of an upper... You know, I'm just saying.
Bobby.
Bobby.
Let's see what we got going on this
Elvis.
Weekend.
We got Elvis, man. Oh, that's right. We forget it? We saved the best for last. We probably should have started with Elvis and ended with Elvis, and then in the middle injected some Elvis. But,
well, it is the Elvis Fest. We're in the midst of it. It started Thursday, downtown Tupelo in that general area. Had the music at the mill at the old J.J. Rogers building last night. Had several Mississippi bands.
You're not supposed to say the first annual event, but it was the first annual event. That's AP style.
The inaugural.
The inaugural. So next year it'll be the second annual if they do it.
Inaugural Music at the Mill. That's a new addition to the festival. Of course, tonight they're going to have tonight and tomorrow they're going to have music at the main stage there in Fair Park in front of City Hall. Gates open at 6 both nights. Tonight they've got Los Kingdom. We've got Luthi, I think that's how you say it. Masa Hines, Lee Fields, and the Expressions. Tomorrow night, I've got a ticket. I'm looking forward to this. Going to have Future Birds. Going to have Dylan LeBlanc with the Pollies and J. Roddy Walston and the Business. I cannot recommend that band highly enough. And I've heard they're amazing live. So I'm looking. They really, if you like good guitar rock, go see them.
And you got tribute artists at the Bancorp South Arena on Friday and Saturday.
Yes, the Elvis tribute competition
at Fair Park that evening. And I've covered that tribute artist contest quite a bit. Covered it at the old Lyric Theater when you couldn't get a ticket.
Yeah.
And that ticket would sell out very quickly with a lot of out-of-towners.
I bet.
And now you have room to get more people in at the Bancorp South Arena, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And every year, I'm going to say this, that I think that, you know, there's something corny about being a tribute artist in my mind.
Sure.
But every year when I would go interview those guys, they all seem to be so excited and into it, and they all have these stories that are often family stories.
Yeah.
And so they're in it based upon like, yeah, my grandparents kept me when I was little, and so I would be like 8 years old, they'd put the album on and I'd come out and lip sync in front of them. Stories like that, almost yeah. all of them seem to have.
And their sincerity is what's endearing, I think. I mean, yeah. they go all in, and they really, they don't do it to be corny or you know, they don't. I think I haven't been to this, but what I've gathered when you see them perform, it's not corny. I mean, most of these guys are really good.
That's what I'm saying. They put in a lot of time into it,
yeah.
and they're committed into it. And I've been backstage, and you know, I don't know how you are, but I'm competitive and jealous and vile. These people don't seem to be so. These guys seem to be cheering on their fellow competitors. It's a nice environment.
And it's like a global thing. We had a guy from Brazil won a year or two ago, right?
Yeah, we have the first one pulled in a lady from Australia.
Nice.
She couldn't quite hit the register. And so there's been people from like Czechoslovakia come and stuff like that. So people come, but there's a cachet that comes with winning the Tupelo one, cuz you get to go on to Memphis from here. This
right.
is where he was born, and then this is the ultimate tribute contest, and then you head over to Memphis to compete with everybody, with winners from all over the country. And so people gear up for Tupelo. Can I make one special pitch here for something non-Elvis related?
Sure.
I'm a big John Conley fan. When's he playing?
John Conley.
He's right there.
Yeah, he's playing on tonight, 7 o'clock at the Magnolia Civic Center in New Albany. Yeah.
So I realize that is competition with Elvis, but common man, drive a common van, my dog ain't got no pedigree. Does that yeah. ring a bell?
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
These rose-colored glasses that I'm looking through
yeah.
show only the beauty because they hide all the true.
Hmm.
Hey,
you start singing here?
There you go. If you please hand me my crayons, I'll be glad to take your name because I don't remember loving you.
Nice. Yeah, there's a lot of good music. I mean, it's not just Elvis Fest. I mean, that's got tons of good music, but, I mean, John Conley, like you said, and also on Saturday, going at the Link Center, Waverly with special guests Forever and Never and B. Scotty will perform at 7:30. And let's not forget next Wednesday, Journey, and Asia will be here.
Don't Stop Believing.
You know, different lead singer, but I'm told he sounds just like
Steve Perry.
Steve Perry, that guy. Isn't Steve Perry supposed to rejoin them at some point for something?
He did. These guys were this year inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
That's right.
And so he was there.
That's cool.
Do you know that when Steve Perry went on his own and he put out Oh Sherry was about his girlfriend and then wife at the time. Mm-hmm. They've since divorced, but while they were married, she was Sherry Perry.
Sherry Perry. That's funny.
And true. It's funny because it's true.
That reminded me of that scene from The Wedding Singer. If it was a Drew Barrymore's character, was named Julia, and her boyfriend's last name was Giulia. Julia. That's funny.
If they
get married. Okay.
that's my one pop
culture reference for the show.
And I think what we realized is that without Derek Russell, we lose something.
I think we do. Well, I guess we'll have him back when he's back next week. That's fine. That's it for this episode of The Memo. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Again, you can access us in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, also online, memo.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at DJournalMemo. Scott's on Twitter at MScottMorris. I'm on there as well at Brad Locke. Scott? Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me on. Let me stammer and stutter my way through the memo.
Maggie Bushway is going to edit this up and make us sound like gold.
I love Maggie. Maggie's one of my favorite people in all the world.
Me too. She does a great job. She's listening to this right now, and she's probably blushing.
And she's not going to edit this out because this is all true and needs to be out there.
I would hope not.
No.
Don't be overly humble, Maggie. Keep this part in. Okay, that's it, everybody. We'll be back next Wednesday. Derek should be here as well. So.
Should I mention how many times you said, oh, wait, we'll have Maggie edit that out?
Yeah, a few. Yeah. Makes us sound good. We'll see y'all next time. Thank you.